Dear friends, we gather this day on the traditional and unceded territory of the Algonquin Nation.
May all dwell in the center, respect, and peace.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Eternal God, this holy night is radiant with the brilliance of your one true light. As we have known the revelation of that light on earth, bring us to see the splendor of your heavenly glory. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who is alive and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
A reading from the book of Isaiah. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who lived in a land of deep darkness, on them light has shined. You have multiplied the nation. You have increased its joy. They rejoice before you as with joy at the harvest, as people exult when dividing plunder. For the yoke of their burden and the bar across their shoulders, the rod of their oppressor, you have broken as on the day of Midian. For all the boots of the tramping warriors and all the garments rolled in blood shall be burned as fuel for the fire. For a child has been born for us, a son given to us. Authority rests upon his shoulders, and he is named Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Great will be his authority, and there shall be endless peace for the throne of David and his kingdom. He will establish and uphold it with justice and with righteousness from this time onward and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this. Hear what the Spirit is saying to the church.
car elle s'est manifestée, la grâce de Dieu, source de salut pour tous les hommes. Elle nous enseigne à renoncer à l'impiété et aux désirs de ce monde, pour que nous vivions dans le temps présent avec réserve, justice et piété, en attendant la bienheureuse espérance et la manifestation de la gloire de notre grand Dieu et Sauveur Jésus-Christ. Il s'est donné lui-même pour nous, afin de nous racheter de toute iniquité et de nous purifier un peuple qui lui appartienne, qui soit plein d'ardeur pour les belles œuvres. Hear what the Spirit is saying to the church.
Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to Luke.
Glory to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
In those days, a decree went out from Emperor Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration and was taken while Quirinius was governor of Syria. All went to their own towns to be registered. Joseph also went from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to the city of David called Bethlehem, because he was descended from the house and family of David. He went to be registered with Mary, to whom he was engaged and who was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for her to deliver her child. And she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in bands of cloths and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. In that region, there were shepherds living in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. Then an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for see, I am bringing you good news of great joy for all the people. To you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign for you. You will find a child wrapped in bands of cloth and lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace among those whom he favors." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go now to Bethlehem and see this thing that has taken place, which the Lord has made known to us." So they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the child lying in the manger. When they saw this, they made known what had been told them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured all these words and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen, as it had been told them. The Gospel of Christ.
May I speak to you of the God of love, who calls us to love more than we have ever loved. Amen. This story of the shepherds and the angels and the baby, we read it every year, and I feel like I could almost say I've memorized it, because it's the same story, and there's just joy in having the words be the same and know how the story is going to conclude. And sometimes I wonder, is there something new we can say about this that fits our time? And it struck me while I was at a movie this month. The movie has church figure prominently in it, and I always dread when movies do that, because I'm sure they're gonna say something very critical, and they're gonna make the clergy oh so squeaky clean stereotypes, and I don't wanna be that, I don't wanna be connected with it. But this movie had something to say. The movie was Knives Out, Wake Up Dead Man. And it's a murder whodunit. It was in the cinema, which is where I saw it, and now it's number one on Netflix, so you can easily find it. And in this movie, there is a young man who is a priest, a Roman Catholic priest, and another clergy colleague says something offensive, and he punches him out. And of course, he's very apologetic, and he's hauled into the bishop's office, and they're sitting at their tables adjudicating him, and he apologizes again, and he explains that as a teenager, he had been a street fighter, but that he had come to know the love of Jesus. And that wasn't how he wanted to live anymore, but in the moment, it got away on him. That's what he said. And the response of the adjudicators was an odd one. They said, well, the church actually needs fighters because the world is like wolves and we need to fight wolves. So the young priest disagreed. He said, if you expect to find wolves, you're going to find wolves everywhere and you're always going to be fighting. And so he told his conversion story about how in fighting he had accidentally killed someone in a match, and that his reckoning was that the love of God that he experienced in Jesus Christ took him beyond that way of being, and he wanted to be about love. And he expressed it with his hands. He put out his hands to say, Jesus wants us to be hugging like this, not fighting like this. It's graphically in how he presents himself to the adjudicators. So they decide that, you know, he can stay a priest. And he leaves the meeting and he goes to the bishop and apologizes again. And the bishop says, well, you know, the person you hit, he kind of deserved it. But I'm going to have to discipline you anyway, so I'm sending you to a church that has been a problem. And the church has been a problem, well, probably because people are fallible and, you know, congregations are groups. And the rector there is difficult. But you go and do what you can. And so this young man, he goes off to this church, and this is where the whodunit happens. The rector, who is a piece of work, gets killed. And the people of the congregation assume that because he didn't like him, it must have been him. He must have been the one. And he of course couldn't stand working with this rector from hell. I'm going to call him that. And he goes walking all night because he was glad he was dead, but he didn't do it. And he comes into the church in the morning and he is appealing to Jesus, what am I going to do? Because I dislike that man, but I didn't do it. So this is where the detective part happens, and the detective comes in, and he doesn't know it's the detective. And I'm not going to do any spoilers, just in case you're curious. But the detective comes in, and he thinks he's just, you know, someone come in off the street to the church. And he says, oh, well, you can come and be in here. You can come and pray in here. And the detective, who has not identified himself, says, well, I'm not really into praying. I like the architecture, though. And then he says, I'm really not much of a believer because the church is full of empty promises, malevolence, misogyny, and homophobia, and I want to pop its bubble so that belief doesn't choke me. I quoted this. I watched the movie again so I could get that right. And the young man says, thanks for being honest with me. And they have this great conversation about how we tell stories in church. And the unnamed detective says, well, I'm not really big on stories. And the young priest says, well, you know, stories could be lies that we tell, or they could be the way to get at something so profoundly true that you can't tell it other than in a story. And I wanted to stop the movie right there and say, I want to talk to this priest because I want to talk to atheists like that. It was respectfully done, and it left me thinking about stories and how they're a way of getting at truth when we don't have any other way to do it. Hence the shepherds in the fields. It's a love story, but the word love is not mentioned once. Mary ponders all of this in her heart. That's a very loving thing to do, but it's a love story where the word love isn't used. Now, you could probably tell a good love story. Tell a story out of your own life that is a love story. We can do it well, and sometimes it's humbling to try, and it's our testimony to tell how love has worked in our life. But sometimes you have to tell a different story, and there's a reason for it. In the prosperity that surrounds us, this thing happens when you try to tell a story where it's an I story, where it's about yourself. Some people call it main character syndrome, where you tell a story because you're at the center of it and it's all about you. And is that a love story when you're telling a main character syndrome story where it's all about you? It might obscure the love because what they hear is ego. And there's another thing that we call it in faith language. We call it Disney princess theology. This is where you see a story and the hero in that story is the one you relate to. Because we live in a culture where heroes that are princes and princes are the way Disney tells stories. And so we identify with the hero. We get to be the hero in our own life. And the risk with Disney princess theology is that you don't get to hold up a mirror about the characters that aren't perfect and see yourself in that. You don't get to hold up a mirror with doubting Thomas and notice your own doubts. You don't get to hold up a mirror to Peter who denied that he knew Jesus and see that you too have denied people. Making yourself the hero of the story might obscure that you're trying to tell a love story about your life. So we tell a story about our loving God, and the details seem fantastical. You know, angels up in the sky, the details seem fantastical. And yet, it's a story that says, God comes in great humility to be close to even the poorest people. The people with the dead-end shepherd jobs experience glory. And if they can experience glory, I think I want to know the people of our time in the dead-end shepherd's jobs. Because God loves them. God's glory came to them. And God's glory comes to each of us. But let's tell the stories of the people who got lost and were forgotten and really see God's love at work. So we tell the story of a baby put in an animal feed trough by parents who were just making ends meet. And we say, God is among us. We can tell the stories of the poor people of our own experience. And we should also be able to say, God has been among us and shown us how to love. So we're telling a miracle birth story tonight. The Christian perspective is to say this actually was and is God among us. That's how God works. And it is to call you to extend how you love beyond how much you think you love. Let's tell good stories and love more. Amen. Creator, thank you for enriching us with the rituals we have inherited. We celebrate and thank you for the celebration of your gift of a baby who came to teach us about love. We pray for our world. We pray to honor and care for our Mother Earth, expanding our awareness of the totality of her provisions for us. We remember those many places of conflict, and we pray for peace and justice everywhere. We pray for peace within homes, families, and within our own hearts as we sing. For Canada, inspire our leaders to acknowledge the goodness of humankind and to bravely work to foster good government, making compassionate decisions, cooperating at all levels. Support us as we seek ways to be effective, caring citizens.
We pray for our reconciliation with the truths of our Indigenous history so that we can discover how to journey forward together as we sing. We pray for those who have no place to stay. We pray for those who have no food to eat. We pray for those who seek work. We pray for the church worldwide and its leaders. And we are especially thankful and ask your blessings for those who minister at St. John's, Gary, Alan, Pat, Christina, Kimberly, Nicholas, Carrie, Awit, Barb, and Monica, and every volunteer as we sing. For children, young people, and their families. We pray for the sick, their loved ones, and caregivers. We ask that your love and comfort be felt by all of us and those close to our hearts. We pray for the departed and enfold them in tender remembrance as we sing. Beloved Creator, we long for hope, for reassurance, for peace. Meet us where we are tempted to look, when we are tempted to look away. Teach us how to stay present. Teach us how to hold fragility without fleeing it. Teach us how to love in ways that take shape in real lives and real places. On this holy night, give us the courage to receive you as you come. Not above us, not behind us, not beyond us, but with us. Amen.
Thank you.
Glory to God, whose power working in us can do infinitely more than we can ask or imagine. Glory to God from generation to generation in the Church and in Christ Jesus forever and ever. Amen.
The peace of God which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in the knowledge and love of God and of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, be upon you and keep you today and always. Amen. Go in peace to love and serve the Lord.